Hello, and welcome back to Molly, a Dream S&P podcast. This is episode 66, and today we'll be discussing the Dream S&P TwitchCon panel and the Minecraft modverse. Alright, we're back.
Hello.
Oh, this is just going to be a short episode because we are tired and don't really have much to talk about.
Yeah,
we got some like soft confirmation that Dream is a juggler main, so that's the thing. And we have full confirmation that Wilbur still uses Tumblr, apparently.
What?
And also the quackity ships Quackbur.
Of course he does.
And Sapnap ships Skepalo. As his father, as his dad.
Yeah, so. I guess that did get confirmed, didn't it? Wow. I hadn't even thought about that.
So that happened. Honestly, we didn't get much out of them because they were, you know, just gave us nothing, like usual. And also most of the questions weren't really lore related, I guess.
Even if they were, they gave us nothing.
Nothing.
Like, I was kind of hoping that they'd have, like, the VidCon one be, like, the more, like, content creator questions and have this one be more like roleplay questions.
I mean, that's kind of what I was hoping, but sadly...
Did you guys see the comparison with the, what's it called?
The room size?
Yeah, the room sizes. It was bad.
Mm.
So, then they were right next to a giant-ass theater that was empty during the duration of their panel.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people complaining about the panel in general and saying, like, people wasted their questions, they asked terrible questions. Like, okay, some of the questions were kind of, like, low-ball, whatever, that's fine. I think they were, but they were pretty, typical, like, convention type of questions.
Yeah.
And I think people, did need a little bit better etiquette when it came to, like, what you should have asked a question. You shouldn't just be requesting things when you go up. But, you know, it's whatever.
Yeah.
I'm sure for a lot of people it was their first convention where they actually, like, attended panels or just attended in general. But overall, the panel itself wasn't that bad. TwitchCon in general, Twitch has fucked up majorly many times. Like, the panel itself was fine. I think the fans were fine. It was whatever.
Pretty, like, normal.
But the organization of it, the way the Twitch staff has behaved, just all of it has been absolutely terrible. And I feel really bad for all the people who went and then got just, like, so horribly managed because we had the meet and greets got fucked up for the Dream SMP, or for the first round. I don't know if it was the same for the rest, but, like, Carl, George, and Sapnaps got messed up because people who had been waiting in line for, like, hours were told to move into a different line, only for people that from the front, and they had been waiting there for hours, had been told to move to the back of another line, and then that line got pulled into the line they were just in to actually go and see the content creators. None of the Twitch staff seemed to actually know what was going on or where you're supposed to go. They were very, like, they would ignore the fans. They weren't helpful. They were just overall terrible. And then you go to the Dream SMP panel, which is one of their, like, the biggest things
biggest
on Twitch.
Money thinkers.
You would think that they'd be like, oh yeah, there's definitely, we're going to need a big space for that. But they put them in a room that fits 400 people. Which sounds like a lot until you remember that.
Until you realize,
like,
that about, like, 20,000 people on average come tune in to a lore stream.
Yeah, and that Dream just face revealed, like, 2 days in his first, like, in-person event, which had, like, 13 million people watching it. Like, yeah, of course there's gonna be a lot of people. This is one of the biggest, like, Dream SMP events that we've had for a while with them all being there, and there was a lot of people there. Of course you're gonna need a bigger room.
Yeah.
You think they'd, like, at least, like, I don't know, I know that there's some like events where they'll put out basically surveys just asking people when they, like, buy a ticket or whatever.
Why?
Hey, what things are you interested in seeing? So that they know how many people are gonna be interested in different events. And then can put them in rooms to try and accommodate that as best as possible.
I don't know.
And I don't know why every single event in the world doesn't use that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, obvious, like, Dream has been hyping this up for, well, not as much as his actual Facebook, but he's been talking about going to TwitchCon and, like, being there in person on Twitter for, like, a long time, for, like, I think it was when he went around the time when he's talking about how he wouldn't be in the September MCC, because he was saying that we're probably going to be busy that month because Georgia's going to be coming here soon, and there's also TwitchCon that's coming up, so I'm probably not going to be going to MCC because I can't confirm whatever, blah blah blah. So, like, he's been talking about going to this area, and, like, even without knowing before his, and obviously, like, that it was going to be his first in-person event ever. Like, so many people, even people who don't like him, probably want to see what the hype's about.
Yeah. And, like, from what I know, after the Dream SMP panel, he actually, like, got down off the stage and decided that he wanted to walk through the fans. And I feel so bad for his security guard. Imagine you're like, oh, yeah, this guy I'm tasked with, like, protecting or whatever, just jumped off the stage into the middle of the giant crowd who won't let him through, and now I have to follow him and somehow keep people from swarming him. Fantastic.
Dream talking about how he's gonna have security detail on him. Also Dream jumping into the crowd himself.
I mean, he needs a security detail, to be honest. I don't know. I think I have heard a few things from, like, TwitchCon that's have been going on from, like, the fan side of things, where the fans are definitely acting up, and I'm like, yeah, you shouldn't really be doing that. Like, I guess some people went to the hotel that the content creators are staying in under the excuses, like, we want cheaper water because they sell water at the hotel or something for cheaper than you can buy it in the convention, and they went to the hotel, and it's just like, bruh, if you want cheap water, there's gas stations literally everywhere, I'm sure. But also, don't go to the hotel of the content creators unless you're actually also staying in the hotel. Do not stalk these people, dear lord.
I wonder if part of it's like a COVID issue.
A COVID issue?
Like, with a large amount of the fandom is like, never been to a con before, especially because the fandom's kind of skewed so young.
Yeah.
So hopefully, like, after, like, the next one, I'll be better, basically.
Yeah, I think in the future that, I mean, and not to mention, it's also most of the content creators' first conventions to some extent.
Because most of them have gone only, like, largely popular in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Again, COVID effect.
And so, in the most recent conventions they've gone to were the other VidCons and TwitchCons in Europe, and not all of them went to that. Like, this is the first convention Dream's ever been to. So I wouldn't be surprised if he acts, like, somewhat awkward on the panels, which he did. And then he tweeted about it afterwards, being like, I was so nervous, I'm so sorry, guys. It's just like, oh, it's fine. I don't blame him.
He did great. He did absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, I think overall, from what I've seen, it's gone well on the side of, like, the creators. I think the creators have all done really well. I think everyone's having a good time. I heard the food battle thing today was really good. I didn't get to watch it. I heard that went really, really well.
I woke up too late.
I was at a Renaissance fair, so I didn't get to see it. Which, by the way, actually, random side note, I was at the Renaissance Fair today, and I saw at least one Wilbur and one Ghost Boo cosplayer. So if you were at a Renaissance Fair on Saturday, October the 8th, I saw you. I saw you, and I know what you cosplayed as, and I will say that they were pretty good cosplays. I really liked the Wilbur cosplay, even though I didn't get a good glimpse at it.
Good cosplays, but bold move.
Bold move given the... Well, actually, it's not as bold of a move as the people walking around in full fursuits. I mean, that was pretty bold. that was an interesting... There was also a One Piece cosplayer. That was kind of cool. I don't know. It was a good time. But, yeah, if you were cosplaying the Dream SMP while at a Renaissance Fair this most recent Saturday, then I saw you. I perceived you. And I really... really wanted to say something, and in fact when I went past one of the Wilbur cosplayer, I even was like, Wilbur, because I was like, I wonder if they'll react, but I don't think they heard me. But yes, you've been perceived. What else has happened?
So do you guys want to talk about the panel?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what there is to say, really. I don't feel like we got Rivals! A lot. We did get rivals. That was cool. I think it was interesting that, So the question was if you could swap characters with anyone else, who would it be? I did think the people going, the couple of them who went, oh yeah, I would switch with George because he turned sleeping into roleplay. I think that's a solid answer. I also like the fact that George just went, I'll be Skeppy, aka a character who's even less inside of the lore. I liked that. But I think it was interesting, because I'm trying to remember who else said what. I know... Here, wait, actually. Hold on. Alyssa. Live tweeted the whole thing. I gotta find it. But I think it was interesting that Dream said if he could swap, he would be... Techno, because the character's motivations are very similar. And that was interesting to me. Interesting.
Stroking. Well, we already knew he was a character rivals fan.
Yeah. Hold on.
He's probably got a secret AOT account where he writes about their characters just hanging out and being friends.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised.
Who would win?
If you ever see an account on AO3 that's like half like rivals fic and half DNF, you know you found his.
Rambu and Carl. Oh, okay. Here, I found the list. Rambu and Carl said they would swap. George said Skeppy. Dream said Techno. Quackity also said George. Quackity said George because sleeping. Foolish said Sapnap. Sapnap said George. Nikki said she wants to be a villain. But nothing specific.
Honestly, a story where Nikki takes Quackity's role would be really interesting, like in AU.
Yeah, I
like. It's cool because you maintain the whole like antagonism with Wilbur thing.
Yeah, I like that idea. I'm trying to see.
We should have gotten more villain Nikki.
Yes, agreed. What other questions did they have? They got asked about. Oh, they...
Limbo.
Yeah, well, they got asked who would win in a fight between you and your character, and the only people who answered were Dream and Carl, and Dream said my character would win by a long shot, and then Carl went, my character's OP, but I think I can still kick his ass.
And then Dream said I could kick Carl's character's ass.
Of course we could. I mean...
Character Carl canonically lame.
Character Carl is... I mean, yeah, he's got the time-traveling thing, but like... Come on.
F in chat for character Carl.
I did like the fact that Dream apparently was a shooter for all of his Dream SMP pals, and he told Twitch staff that even though they were like, we can't fit all of you up there, we're only gonna have these people, Dream like was a shooter for them and was like,
everybody
no
in.
Sir, I'm not gonna do it unless you can get everybody. And so even though they had to like swap out part of the way through for like some of the others, I still really, really like the fact that they all got to be up there. Even if it was only for a brief amount of time.
Bring your friends with you.
They could have had everybody up there if they had picked a better room, Twitch. Huh? Answer me
YouTube
that one, you dumbasses.
This to Dream.
Honestly, yes.
YouTube would never do this to Dream.
That's because he's their golden child. Let's see, I'm trying to think. So in the first half, we had Foolish, Nikki, and Rambu with, you know, George, Sapnap, Dream, Quackity, Carl, and DTK. Nikki, or...
Tina came on!
Yes, and then they all left. Or Foolish, Nikki, and Rambu left, and then we got Puns, Filza, Jack, and Tina coming on after that. I felt bad for Tina because she was like, I don't have any lore, so I can't answer your lore question.
Well, no, she could have monologued to herself. That's her lore. Right? When she's hanging out with Boomer and friends, and she's just having this internal monologue about how they're all idiots.
Yeah. I think one of the moments I think was really fun for me was when somebody asked, is it hard for you to get into the role when you're playing the villains? And Dream of the Media was like, no, it was fun. Carl said, I wish I was a jerk. Quackity said, Purple deserved better. And then Phil said, I have done nothing wrong.
Except for maybe blowing up a country.
Yeah. And then Puns said it was hard for him because he's kind of monotone. But I feel like Puns pulls it off pretty well. Like the take that they had for the Quackity lore was pretty good.
Yeah.
I think the monotone thing kind of works well for when you're playing a villain, so.
Because then when he's like, when he's actually expressive, it hits harder.
Mm-hmm. I think the thing that I thought was really funny about that question though was just that, the CC's reactions to it of just being like, no, it's fun to fuck with each other and like ruin each other's characters' lives or whatever. I just think that was really funny because, it just reminded me of sort of like the difference between how the CCs view the lore versus how like the fandom views the lore. Because the fans sort of take it very, very seriously and like, well, you're playing such an evil character. Like, is it hard to like get into that mindset of like, ooh, evil, yeah, I am gonna do bad things? And they're like, no, it's just fun to fuck with each other. Because they're very much nonchalant comparatively.
Yeah, to be fair. It's also a little bit of Manhunt Dream in there.
Yeah. I don't know. I can see with the way they do it, because oftentimes I think, you know, the line between character and content creator is kind of thin in the sense of, like, yes, they're definitely playing a character versus playing themselves, but at the end of the day, it's, like, still coming from them, and they know that they're, like, not hurting anyone in actuality. So for them, it's not really like, oh yeah, I'm gonna play this character who like just like wants evil, and it's more like, I'm gonna play this character who wants this. Who can I be like, who would be the most fun to like bother, or like who, like what kind of, I don't know, what it's, I don't know, I think one thing you gotta remember is that a lot of these people, when they're, like, they're all very much sort of, like, assholes. But, like, like, the kind of best friends that, like, fuck with each other all the time. So, like, I'm sure...
Kind of push Sapnap out of the chair.
Yeah, like, I'm sure if it was me in that same situation, it'd be, like, because I think everyone's on the same page of, like, not taking it so seriously that, they like, their feelings actually get hurt. So it's, like, what can I do to really fuck with my friend? And just do things like that. I do think it's funny though that Quackity is a purpled fan, purpled character.
Quackity's a purpled apologist.
Yeah, which I think is very funny. It's purple deserved love, or purple deserved more, fun. Or whatever. We got everyone also, to say.
Oh, he's good. Also a Quackverse shipper, so.
I mean, I'm not surprised by that. Is anyone surprised by that?
No, I am not.
That sounds exactly like the kind of, like, bit that Quackity would absolutely go for. He spends half of his time, like, simping for all of his male friends.
He does.
Like, he's almost as much of a homie hopper as Carl. I will say, we did miss out on an opportunity to have somebody talk about, character fiancés, because we literally had Carl, Sapnap, and Quackity in the same space contained for like an hour.
When they were asking about the line, the character line, Carl even goes and says, "Who are you?"
Yeah. Somebody, I know people were joking beforehand, it was like, nobody needs to ask about DNF because Dream and George will make it happen anyways, but like, guys, we had the opportunity to ask about DNF. We had the opportunity to ask about, like, the fiancés. Why did no one go for it? You've let me down, fans.
Cowards!
You've let me down. What else happened? We got everyone's favorite lore lines, which is that was good. I liked that.
Dream was smiling through the I don't give a fuck about spirit, but yeah, I don't blame him.
I think all of George's answers to every question and just having no idea what the fuck he was talking about was very funny and very on brand. Like, someone asked them, like, what would your character's limbo be? And George was just like,
Cake factory
making chocolate cakes for all eternity. And we were like, buddy, do you know what the limbos are?
You can make the cakes, but you can't eat them. It's representative of how he is in love with Dream, but can't have them.
This perfectly works into the fact that I think the song Sweet Tooth is a perfect C. George song, and I will die on that train, if I have to.
You'll die on that hill.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember, what else did people say for, I need the Lingos. Where's the Lingos? Somebody, I think Quackity had an interesting one, but I can't remember what the fuck it was. Where is that?
Dream just did straight up didn't answer, which is...
Yeah. Well, not a lot of people answered in general for that one.
Well, like, Foolish, has a point. He's immortal, so he's not gonna die.
But... That's true.
But I like how Carl's answer was that my character's already in limbo, L.
Yeah, I like how the person asking the question was just like, this is a question for everyone, but I guess Rambu, because his character's dead.
It's already dead. Oh, there we go. And everybody just started laughing.
Carl said, it's not like I built a whole series based on it, which is interesting, because that kind of implies that... Was that ever, like, a thing that he stated that, like, the in-between and, like, those two locations are limbo?
I think it's been, like, theorized that there's some level of connection between them.
I haven't heard that before.
Because, like, we know XD is connected to life and death, and we know XD is connected to the whole time travel thing he's got going on.
I feel like XD just...
And also, like, the in-between and limbo essentially, like, mean the same thing.
Yeah. It was definitely an interesting response.
I think...
And then just from, like, the conceptual point of view, like, a space between life and death is also a space that is out of time.
It's not even that, but I think just in the context, because someone was explaining what Limbo was, and then Carl's like, well, it's not like I've built an entire series out of that concept.
Oh, was that what it was? Is that how it was?
But I do think it kind of there's probably a connection, not just because of the list, but also because Carl tends to end up in the in-between or the other side after he dies in a different time. So I think there's definitely something up with that.
That's true. I think Foolish saying that his character is immortal was kind of a flex, and I appreciated it. But that's because Foolish has just looked amazing every single time I've seen him at TwitchCon. I was just like, God damn, Foolish! What the fuck? Rolling up like a freaking Adonis. Okay.
On to the,
Quackity's answer. Quackity's answer for Limbo was, Limbo's not a great place, so probably Bad Boy Halo's basement.
Bad Boy Halo's basement.
Which is wow, okay, buddy. Wow. Alright. Rough out here. Actually, Bat got the piss taken out of him so much during this. It's like, oh, that's just mean. Somebody said, I think Dream they made a joke that's like, BBH couldn't come because they wouldn't let him bring his guns or something. And it's just like, Jesus Christ, guys. He's not even here to defend himself. Yeah.
He has guns, though. They're not wrong.
I mean, he does, don't get me wrong. I just was just like, goddamn. Just call him out.
Affectionately bullying.
We did get the headcanon question, though, I think was what you wanted to start talking about.
Yeah. So, I think we've already talked about how, Quackity headcanons Quackver. Zapnap yes. headcanons headcanons Skip Halo, but as his, specifically as his, father's. Yeah.
Which I think it's very sweet that that's his favorite headcanon, because I really like that one, too, of, like, BBH raised Sapnap and him and Skeppy are his dads. I think that's really sweet. I think
the first time I heard about this was on a BBH stream, and one of the viewers were like, I think a donation or something, someone commented about Bad finding Sapnap in the Nether and adopting him.
Maybe? I actually don't know where it came from.
And Bad going, hey, that sounds cool. And then accepted that immediately as part of his canon.
I think Dad Boy Halo should be something that is represented more often. I like Dad Boy Halo. I think that's very sweet.
Dad Boy Halo. There was Sapnap was supposed to go to the Red Banquet, but for some reason he wasn't there. Yeah. Bad specifically points this out. when we ask. And like, Sapdep even had changed his skin, right? So I think he got the wrong time or location.
Oh, maybe. From his
invitation, because Bad edited it.
Oh.
That's my theory. Impromptu. Sure.
We got Phil said his favorite, or any of the ones that
retconning the cursed fridge floor.
Which, you know what? I completely understand, because I also wouldn't want to be the person who plays the character known for fucking a fridge, and having a child with it. So I don't blame him at all for that. Let's see. Jack said that his favorite are any of the ones where he's like a zombie or a robot or any of that. Which I agree with. I feel like those are pretty cool, and I feel like they lead to, like, really cool character designs. Mm-hmm. I like the robot ones, but I think that's because I've seen more of the robot ones.
Robot ones are cool.
Yeah. And I think it works well with the whole, like, coming back from hell thing. In giving, like, an explanation, sort of how that worked out.
I mean, Nikki went to hell as well, so...
That's true. That was, something. Thanks, Dream XD. Carl said that he likes the gummy Carl ones, which those are also... to be fair, I like any of the ones that add, like, little elements of, like, character design. Especially when they make them, like, non-human-ish, I think those are really cool.
One of the ones I love is the one where everyone's, like, non-human, and then Tommy's the only human.
That is perfect, actually. that's a really good one. That would explain a lot.
That would explain a lot.
I like that one.
I also like the one where, everyone thinks that Dream is, like, some, like, really cool thing, like Ender Dragon or and something, and then just turns out he's just a regular guy.
Oh, yeah. I like the, the cryptid Dream. Like, everyone thinks that he's, like, this super powerful, like, cryptid almost, like, monster guy, and then he's just a fucking dude with, like, really bad life habits. Who really needs somebody to, like, help him get his life under control. I like
Techno be like, that guy's got a bad case of ADHD.
Yeah. I like those ones a lot. Speaking of Dream, I don't know how I feel. On the one hand, I feel validated. On the other hand, the fact that he calls it a headcanon hurts me. That Dream's motivations
I'm pretty
are
sure
to
that
reunite
was
the
like
surfer
a...
and his friends.
I'm pretty sure that was like a, spoilers thing, but he kind of forgot that. I'm pretty sure he's actually said beforehand.
He has said it beforehand.
That is his character's motivation.
That is literally
so
just
forgot he said that before.
Yeah, I just hate the fact that he called it a headcanon, because I'm just like, the lore discourse
that
sparked from this moment. I hate that he did that, and he's like, no, I'm not saying it's true or it's false, and it's just like, buddy,
you
called it a headcanon.
You like get mad at like AUs or fanfic or whatever.
Yeah.
Where character Dream is a good guy, and they're like, oh no, content creator Dream won't like this. And I'm like, he literally said that he likes the idea that his character's doing everything for his friends.
Yeah. Which I like. I don't know. I think people should be. Because I did see some interesting responses when we got that. Comment from him. It's just, guys, it's his OC, basically.
He can
want to do
anything.
Whatever he wants with it, and he can say whatever, like, if he wants his character to have, like, a really sympathetic and, like, I don't know, nice
motivation.
Sort of motivation, it's like, he's doing everything for his friends, even though it makes him a giant asshole. It's like, yeah, it's his OC. You know, I have a character from when I was, like, 13 I made who was a literal serial killer, and I made him a sad uwu boy, okay? Like, I loved him, and he was, he literally, I think I gave him, like, a 40-person body count, and then I was just like, but it's okay, he's a sad boy, it's alright. I can forgive it. It's okay.
I have to wonder though if those same people who are getting mad at Dream for wanting his character, who for enjoying his character having a sympathetic outlook, if they're the same people who get pissy about lore not happening the way they want it to.
Yeah. I just, it's the treading, when I see people comment about, like, well, you guys need to be, like, you, like, the CCs need to be so careful about what they say, because they need to be responsible. It's like, guys, you have to remember, at the end of the day, these are all just their OCs, so the same as any OCs you make, and I know for a fact that there are people out there who have OCs that are utter bastards, the worst of the worst, and they're out here like, he's just a sad boy, okay, it's fine if he does this to other, well, I mean, it's not fine, but it's like, it's okay if he does it because he's doing it for this reason, like, I'm gonna feel sad for him, even though he's an asshole. Like, there's a reason that so many people's favorite characters are, like, fit into the bastard category. There's a reason so many people like character Wilbur, for example, who does a ton of terrible things, but has enough of a sad boy backstory that people sad are like, it's pathetic. Okay, oh,
if you write it the way, if you write it the right way, you can have, like, a character who literally kills, like, planets full of people, still be sympathetic.
Yeah, like, yeah. It's very easy to make an utter bastard sympathetic, you know? And I... and one of those people who gets characters who are utter bastards and then make them sad and sympathetic, at least to me. Like, oh man, I've made so many characters who are utter assholes, and then I'm like, ha ha, all good, because I made their backstory sad.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's just a thing that happens, and I think people should let Dream make his little OC boy sad if he wants to.
I think people should stop caring so much about what the CCs decide to do with their own characters. I think they should stop complaining when lore doesn't happen the way they want it to. I think they should mind their own fucking business, and if they don't like what they see, then don't watch. Go pick up something else. Go outside, touch grass. Start sewing as a hobby. Make some friends that aren't terminally online.
It's like, just, y'all, it's... You know, it's their OCs, you know? We are not going to live in a world where that Tumblr post Anon who's like, huh, you need to give me your OCs because you mistreat them and I can't take it anymore. You need to treat them better or I'm taking them because you shouldn't have a right to them because you don't treat them well. And it's like, bitch, I made that character. I'll torture them if I want to. And I'll make them sad if I want to. It's their characters. You can't... Like, Death of the Author is a thing, don't get me wrong, but whatever you say doesn't make it true. And they have every...
Also, it's the same interpret, as fan fiction. People interpret Death of the Author really wrong. Like, there's two things that Death of the Author applies to. The first is interpretation of a work. So if you think something in a text... let's say, represents something, like you say, oh, I think that the story of Lord of the Rings represents, like, World War II and Tolkien's experiences. Or was it World War I? I can't remember which one he was in.
I can't tell you.
Whichever war he was in.
One of the wars that was terrible and awful.
And Tolkien actually said, oh, no, it's not, although it is pretty clear that there's some influence from his experiences.
Yeah.
You can still think that, even though he, the author, has said it is not. Because that's just how you interpret the text. Yeah. So that is Death of the Author. You are not letting what the author says about the text interpret your view of it. Like, affect your interpretation of it. Then the other one is about statements made about a text after its publication by the author, which is slightly similar to the first one, but it's more about changing stuff. For instance, J.K. Rowling does this a lot, and this is what's usually called Word of God.
Mm.
Yeah. So this is where people choose to ignore anything that was not in the original text.
Yeah, and I've seen that done with other fandoms. Like, I'm a really big fan of the All for the Game series, and I know there's a ton of content that the author made about the series post on their Tumblr. They posted a bunch of things about it on their Tumblr account, and I know there's a lot of people who look at that and, like, they do accept parts of it, but other people just like, nah, I'm just gonna make the post ends of the series whatever I want and just ignore it. Like, yeah, there's that element of it that it's not just, you know,
I think even more specifically, it's also about, like, when the author tries to retcon something that already happened in the text.
Yeah.
Or, like, they say something that directly contradicts... something about the text that directly contradicts what's already in the text.
Another example, I suppose, could be when something is in the text, but is effectively retconned by the author themselves, and it's like the author just doesn't mention it. That happened with the book series I read. Mm. And then because of that, the fans decide to basically ignore this. So the example I'm using is the School for Good and Evil book series, because it focuses on two girls, right? Mm-hmm. And because of stuff that happened in the first and second book, there was a lot of people shipping them. Third book, plot twist, turns out they're like half-sisters via magic.
Oof.
Then the next two books in the series completely ignore that, to the point that most people who read them literally forget that plot point was ever a thing. So as far as most of the fandom is concerned, there is no relationship between them, because the fans ignore it, the author ignores it. It's just not really a factor.
God, now you're just reminding me of the fucking Mortal Instruments fandom, where the fucking main character and her main love interest spend, like, you get the first book, and the entire time they're leading, you know, they're romancing, whatever, it's, like, awkward, there's tension there. You get to the end of the book, and then you find out that they're actually, like, you find out that supposedly they're half-siblings, and you find that out for, like, a whole book, and there's an entire conflict between the two characters being like, but I still love them! I was like, this is so weird! Like, I don't understand, like, I shouldn't be having these feelings, he's my brother, she's my sister. And then you go an entire book and you find out, nah, the guy who told them that they were siblings fucking lied. They're not related at all! And you go back and forth dealing with this stupid conflict of like, oh, they're... Yeah, he says that they're brothers and they're blood related, or they're siblings and they're blood related. It's like, no, they're not. He's just a dirty liar. It's just really fucking weird, because you're spending an entire, like, a good, like, two or three parts of this series trying to figure out if the main love main characters who are supposed to be in a romance are fucking engaging in incest or not because of these stupid lies, and you're just like, Jesus Christ, that is not a line anyone should be messing with.
To be honest, it seems like it could make some fun drama.
Oh yeah, it was very entertaining drama, but at the same time, I was like, I heard about that, and then I watched the TV show that came out of it, and I remembered that that was going to be something that happened, and I was just like, ooh, no, I don't like that at all. No. Luckily, it didn't last long.
Yeah, no, they're
long,
making
but...
a School for Good and Evil movie that's coming out soon, and I think most people who are fans of the books are hoping that if they get to a third book, they will just ignore that plot point completely.
Yeah,
because
I don't
it is
them.
Literally never relevant outside that book.
Yeah,
not even outside that book. Outside like the second half of that book.
Yeah, there are things like that though, where like they're in canon, they are canonical, but it comes up like literally once and then never again, and so people are just like, yeah, I just kind of forgot about that, or they just actively choose to ignore it because it's like, it's a lot of the times, I think a lot of the times, especially with romances, you'll get like if the author clearly wants you to ship like two other characters rather than these two, they'll do something like that where they'll throw in this little like, oh, but I see you as a brother, or I see you as a sister, like they see I see you as a sibling, or like, oh my god, we're best friends, they like fucking like roommates them, like, oh yes, these two people who live together,
another one I've seen
best
is like
friends.
They used to date,
yeah,
but then they are no longer dating, but they're still friends.
Yeah.
I think that's probably one of the best ways to do it.
But
it means you keep the dynamic between the characters without being weird about it, but also without erasing the canon romantic tension or whatever that
they
had.
Yeah. But you end up going through that entire thing.
I think I've seen
that
most with, like, Star Wars, with, like, Anakin and Padme when they want to set him up with Obi-Wan.
Oh, do they really?
At least that's where I remember seeing it the most.
I do see a lot of times, especially with fan fiction, if there's a canon ship that people don't want to deal with, because they want to do, like, their rare pair or whatever, they will have it like, yes, this character definitely had feelings for this character before, because I just read a fan fiction about this, it's like, because the two characters in canon end up together, but in this one they were like, yes, I'm gonna do my rare pair starting from before they got together, and it's like, yes, I did have feelings for this one dude, and now he's finally realized his feelings for me, except I just got a boyfriend, so, like, oops! Sorry, not interested anymore. If only you had, like, I don't know, stopped being an asshole, like, I don't know, a season ago. It's just like, Ah, I mean, that's a path. Yeah, that is a common thing of just like, oh yeah, these people totally dated, but then it fell apart for some reason. So now these two are getting together. Or, oh, there was like some tension and like chemistry and like interest there, but now they've kind of, they found somebody new and like they're not interested anymore. That is a thing I've seen happen a lot with fan fiction. I was talking more about how like canonical, like in canon, especially with shows that love to queerbait, they will play up that, they'll keep that sort of like tension going between the characters, but then they'll shove it down so that they don't get like, you know, censored or get the executives pissed off and be like, oh yeah, but we just see each other as like best friends, while all your fans are out there being like, no. Look at the way these two interact. You're telling me that there's so nothing weird there. When,
like, fans try and use it as ammunition. I remember that happened with Voltron. There's like two characters who are like, have so many shippy moments together, and then there's like one single scene where one of them refers to each other as like, oh, you're like a brother to me.
Yeah.
And then people who just like the opposing ship are just like, oh, that means you can't ship it anymore, and everyone else is just in there like,
eh. Yeah. I in general don't like it when people try and use any sort of like thing like that. It was like, oh, you can't ship them.
Like, you can ship in most cases anything.
There's some things
like,
that
no
I'm
no matter how personally awful it would be in real life, you can ship anything, because it's not about what would be like ideal.
Yeah,
in
it's
real
not
life
about,
it's about what makes an interesting story.
Yeah, it's not about what's actually
like, you could have
good for the
two characters
but
who both in canon and in your version of canon would just be absolutely awful together and are absolutely awful together in your version of canon, but it's fun, it's just a fun story.
Oh yeah, I mean, there's a reason fan fiction is very much a place where you can make anything happen.
And that's why everyone loves enemies to lovers.
Yeah,
because it just makes such a fun story.
Oh man, yeah.
People get boring. Like, have you seen those posts about like, oh, if they've actually like done bad things? Like, no, you're defeating the entire point of enemies to lovers. If they haven't like personally murdered their family in front of them, if they haven't like mutually tried to murder each other, what? Where's the fun in that?
Listen, I've gotten very much into the Magnus archives recently, and there's this one artist I follow on Tumblr, who, despite the fact that this one character has been mistreated by, like, so many other characters, will go almost systematically through them all and being like, ah, yeah, this character totally seduced him. Just like, okay, listen, I think it's very fun the way this is going, but also, why are you doing this to him? Why are you making him suffer like this? Because you're just pairing him up with every asshole in the entire podcast. Let him be happy. Like, I don't know, people can do that kind of stuff. I don't really care what people ship. I just think people need to understand is like, yeah, some things aren't for me, and you can't force other people to like what you like. And that goes for people
that's
who,
that's what tagging's for.
Yeah, and like, I think it's like, I think anyone can pretty much ship whatever they want, because honestly, who can stop you? But I think the thing that people need to understand is that, you can't stop someone else from shipping something, but if you ship something that's a little more out there, you also can't force other people to be okay with it.
Yeah.
The best you can get is that everyone should just leave each other the fuck alone. Unless you're actually hurting somebody. Like, just leave each other alone. Like, I don't care if you ship this really dark relationship that is horribly toxic. That's fine. Whatever, you can do that.
Dream.
Just don't try and force me to then ship it. Or, you know, like that, it's like, and I'm not gonna say that anyone else can stop you from, like, shipping whatever characters you ship, because generally, I don't care. I don't know, just everyone leave each other alone. That's all it takes. Just leave each other alone.
Okay, so Minecraft mob vote. Who are you guys thinking of voting for?
Probably the Sniffer. I'm a little tempted by the Tough Golem, only because I really liked the Copper Golem. But probably the Sniffer, because I think the Sniffer is cuter, and I like plants in Minecraft, so.
I think
what did you say,
also,
Snowy?
What's what
I
now?
I think also, it's, it's one of the it's a safer option because we have a better idea of what it's gonna be like in the actual game versus something like the Rascal, which entirely new, and something like the Tough Golem, which how does it interact with other aspects of Minecraft?
Yeah.
I want the Rascal because I think it's cute, and also I mine a lot, so having like something that will give me like random spare pickaxes is a good thing.
Yeah, I can see that. I think I don't exactly know what the Rascal is, like, appearance-wise. It looks like the Sniffer is kind of, like, a big, like, sort of cow,
cow, turtle, duck,
also, cow just, block. Like,
also, like, the Rascal has, like, lore opportunities, especially with the Deep Dark.
That is true. Because
we know there was someone living there, and we also know the Rascal's, like, well, vaguely humanoid.
I feel like the Rascal and the Sniffer both have lore options, though, because the Sniffer's supposed to be bringing, like, old plants back. I think the only one that I can't think of much lore-wise is the Tough Golem. But I still think those are... I guess I could maybe see how that would end up, but I don't know. I feel like they're all right. I think if it... I think by the end of it, I'm pretty sure the Sniffer's going to win. But it's I can cute. See That's the cool. Tough Golem taking second place because of all the people from last round who wanted the Copper Golem. I don't...
Isn't the Copper Golem coming with the archaeology update?
No, I don't think so.
I heard somewhere that... Somewhere on a live stream. That's what happened. That's what they said.
Oh, I don't know. I feel like Mojang is never going to give us the characters that... didn't actually win. I think they've said before that they will, but... Well, when did the frog lose?
The frog, ages ago, in one of the Minecraft... I don't remember which one, but the frog used to be a Minecraft mob, part of the Minecraft mob boat, and it lost. And now it's... But now it's still in the game, so... There's always a chance it's gonna be bad.
I mean, there's a chance, but it could take a long time, to be fair.
That it could take a while. Yeah, that's...
I don't know. I feel like Sniffer's probably gonna win, just because I have seen people's reactions to it. But it could be any of them, technically. I mean, I don't know how much of support the Golem's got, and I don't know how much support the Rascal's got. I know the Sniffer's got a lot, though. I think if the Sniffer loses, we're gonna end up with another Moo Bloom situation, where they're constantly bitter about the fact that they lost. Someone's gonna get accused of rigging the vote. I know that's gonna happen. That's just kind of guaranteed.
The vote's on the launch.
I don't think frogs were in a previous one.
What was?
I'm checking now.
I don't know. I'm pretty haven't paid attention until recently.
Lots of videos about the frog.
It might have been like. Because the earliest one was 2017, and that had. The barnacle, the phantom, the great hunger, which is apparently lizard-like and does look kind of like a frog, so you might have been thinking of that, and the wildfire.
I remember specifically because I kept seeing videos about how they're bringing the frog back, and like how people were so sad when the frog wasn't part of the vote that they... made mods of the frog.
Hold on, I can figure this out. Let's see, Mojang frogs history. The swamp was announced.
You're thinking of the Minecon live vote for the biome vote.
Oh,
where the swamp was an option.
Maybe that was it? Because, I mean, if you go to the frogs wiki page.
Yeah, so there's options. The first time it was mentioned was.
The swamp, which that was maybe. In 2019.
That would make sense.
I don't know. I don't know enough about this.
Okay, yeah. So swamp, badlands, mountains. And it was a vote on which of those is going to get updated next. And the mountains were voted as the first one, and that's how we get caves and cliffs, I guess.
Do you know what I still think?
Right after, so.
I do know what
and I... And then I'm assuming that then they're going to do Badlands. So they might work in... Maybe the plan is to work in mobs that lost mob votes further in.
I think they said they were going to do that before. I just don't know if I trust them to actually do it.
That's fair.
I mean, I don't think they like got the concepts for them already, so I don't think they'd give up on the concepts unless it ends up with the game, where the game evolves, it ends up like being in a way that would break the game.
I don't know. Do you know what I still think they should add? The fireflies, like they said they would.
They added to give the first forest instead of the swamps.
Dang, right? Fireflies! I don't know. They didn't add them at all.
I think yo, you know what would be really cool? Firefly lanterns.
That'd be cool.
That would be cool. I feel like someone
You don't have to feed them to frogs, because whatever. They could have their own unique thing. You can make the fireflies glow, or you can have firefly lanterns that, like, glow and dim periodically, versus just normal lanterns, which glow.
Or maybe something similar to bees, where they've got, like, pollination.
Yeah.
And maybe, like, they can make plants grow faster.
Maybe.
But that would give you, like, a reason to have them.
But fireflies don't pollinate.
I know, like, I live in a country that doesn't have them, so...
I have fireflies. Fireflies are beetles,
and they spend most of their lives underground as larvae. When they come out as adults, they are only alive for a few weeks to breed and die.
Yeah, they don't have.
And some of them
predate
on other fireflies by tricking the whatever with their light flashes.
All I know is they should add fireflies to the gish dang game, like they were going.
You know what, fireflies would be really cool? In caves. In, like, their, green caves.
I don't care where they are. They can't be that much harder to put in than the spore blossoms, which, it should just be, like, a little, like, aesthetic thing for a biome. That's totally doable.
I think, and then the other argument is that anything they add in should have a purpose for being added into the game.
No! It's pretty! That's what its purpose is!
But a lot of people don't like that when something is just added because it's, like, pretty. Like, what do I do with it? That's just there? Can I capture it? No. Can I interact with it? No.
Well, I like it, and that should be reason enough, because I'm into it.
that's why I'm proposing, like, you can make, like, specific lights out of fireflies.
I would like that.
That'd be cool, because it gives you an option to create, like, dim lighting in a way you can't really with just, like, torches of fire or whatever, or glowstone.
Yeah.
Or, like, flickering lighting.
I mean, there's so many things they could add to Minecraft. But I think we've discussed this topic to the ends of the earth. Should we provide the question of the week?
Yeah, let's talk about last week's one first real quick.
I know we said this episode was going to be short, but I think we're actually running about the same length as
the same length.
Which is going to be fun for
me. We always find something to talk about.
Yes, we have rambled on farther than I thought we were going to be able to.
Alright, let's see. So first let's start off with one we got on our YouTube channel. So the last question was basically like, what hermit do you think would be cool to see on the Dream SCP? What Dream SCP memory do you think would be cool to see on Hermitcraft? And then Ababa said, on Spotify, in Season 6 of Hermitcraft, they had a full-scale civil war with bases, espionage, traps, and artillery. I think that was just as chaos as Dream SCP, except Odin's expectation was just a fun factor. It was also Green's first season on the server, and he seems to bring chaos wherever he goes, even on his own SCP series, as you folks noted. So, of course, I would nominate Lord Doomslayer for a crossover. Because chaos, chaos, chaos.
You know what? That's valid. I think Green actually would fit in pretty well with the Dream SMP.
Except for the swearing.
Yeah, maybe not that part. But, you know. There's a few PG fellows.
He would just, like, he wouldn't stream. He would just make videos, and then every time someone swore in the video, he would just bleep it out.
Not even bleep it. It just
and Tommy, whenever Tommy comes on in one of his videos, it's just like bleep, 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 bleep.
I like to think whenever bleep, Tommy comes on,
it'll be chicken clucks.
I just think it'd be funny if every time Tommy came on, he just had like a sensor bar. Or actually, you know what? Every time Quackity comes on the screen, his Minecraft character just has a sensor bar over it because, I mean, you kind of have to sometimes with that fella. Yeah, no, Green's a good choice. I agree with that.
5 a.m. Pearl.
Alright, so GA Discord. So, Haley said foolish for Hermacraft.
Valid. I agree.
And then also for Dream SMP, either Green or Ren Dog, or maybe Etho.
See, I don't know a ton about Etho or Ren Dog.
Ren's really good with the whole roleplay stuff.
Ren's good with roleplay. I'm not sure about Etho, to be honest.
I don't know much about Etho. I feel like I've seen him before, and he's... I don't know.
Some of his videos... Mm. It doesn't really give off, he gives off
He does do, like, vibes. Some roleplay stuff, but it's usually pretty casual stuff.
Well, that's alright. The Dream SMP can be pretty casual, so I can see that working.
But I think Ren's better for, like, the big dramatic moments you got a lot of on Dream SMP.
Mm-hmm. Alright, who else we got?
I'm not sure how to say that. Moan? M-O-H-N? Tubbo for Hermacraft and Pearlescent Moon for Dream SMP.
Tubbo, I think, would fit in, and I think Tubbo would actually be really happy to be there, because didn't he just collab with Good Time to Scar? So I think he'd have a great time. Mm. Pearl, I do.
Also, he's like one of the handful of people on Dream SMP that knows how to do Redstone.
Yeah.
Along with, like, Sam, and honestly, that's the only person I can think of off the top of my head. I think Phil's gonna know some.
Phil definitely knows at least farms and stuff.
Yeah, but I think he mostly works off, like, pre-made stuff.
I mean, possibly, yeah.
He doesn't know how to invent his own redstone. People who know how to invent their own redstones are, like, on another level, man.
Oh, yeah, it's...
Like, I can't even make stuff work when I'm following a plan.
Yeah, same. I've tried to build a number of redstone things, and it's never worked. The best I got is, like,
a while ago, I was on a server, right? And I built a basic piston door, okay? Okay, it doesn't even have the push forward thing. It is just, like, four pistons, four blocks of stone. Half the time it breaks, usually when it's raining. For some reason, I can't figure out, even though all the redstone is covered up with blocks.
Classic.
So I don't know what's... I still don't know what was up with that.
I don't know, man. I can build mob farms sometimes.
It would just not work half the time.
Yeah, that's
I figured out how to do a kelp bone meal farm.
I went up
to a water elevator to a series of hoppers so I could smelt it down in a super smelter. But
that is that more complicated me, like, redstone than I have ever tried to do. So
2 hours to make. Because I was, like, trying to see, okay, what works, like... And also, I was trying to see how many dispensers I could get away with. What I wanted to do was put the piston on a slightly different timer from the dispenser, but I couldn't figure out how to do that, so now it's just growing with one... It just makes one piece of kelp every bone meal. every tick.
Redstone's hard, man. Big support out there to all the redstoners, because I don't understand it. And
honestly, they're a god. Like, Etho made a search hop, like a shulker search engine thing.
And yeah, it's crazy. Like, people are again. Okay, but we're getting off topic. Pearl, absolutely. Yes, I can definitely. I mean, I've seen Double Life and
Pearl.
That was definitely there was good roleplay there. There was, I don't know, it was great. So yes, definitely agree with Pearl. I think that was the last one, in terms of people recommending, or
I mean, stuff that they didn't mention, Bad Boy Halo for Hermitcraft.
That would be interesting. I don't know. Actually, I feel like Bad could fit in with the vibe, because he's got enough of the trolling spirit that he could definitely get in on the pranks.
And he's also... He's also kind of a builder.
Yeah, he can build.
He's not like a good builder, but he's clearly like...
What do you mean?
A builder in the sense that he enjoys building.
Yeah, he's...
Like, he's not on the level of most Hermitcraft members, but like... He could be.
I mean, didn't he help build like a lot of the... Didn't he build like all of Mizu? That's pretty impressive.
I think he like helped with it, yeah, but I don't know how much he had in input he had in the design.
I don't know. I am here to vouch for BBH's building skills. I think he's a great builder.
Sam?
Yeah, no one mentioned Sam. Sam would be good for Hermitcraft.
He's good at long-term... He's horrible at long-term projects, but he's good at starting them.
Yeah, he starts them and never finishes them. I'm still seeing that
Green,
bank.
It's absolutely perfect because Green's back of the Hermitcraft and back of the bases. Sam, awesome dude, and finishing the prison.
Yeah.
Not the prison, the bank.
The bank's never getting finished, I'm pretty sure he said, which is very funny.
Okay, so let's finish this episode here. So this week's question of the week is, which mob do you want to vote for the mob vote?
Yeah,
and
us.
Why?
Yeah, so we can
What is
predict.
Your reasoning for wanting to?
Yeah.
Alright, bye.
Bye!
Bye!
Well, thanks for listening to the 66th episode of Malahi, and we hope you enjoyed it. If there's any topic you'd like to hear us discuss, feel free to leave a comment or find us on Twitter at Malahi Podcast, where you can also ask us questions or just get updates about new episodes. We also have a Discord server that you can find a link to in the description. See you next time!